Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 12, we find that Paul's objectives when it came to Jesus Christ were very simple. I mean, very simply stated, not simple to acquire, but very simple in their statement. Read with me in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. Paul said, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Now, in this particular passage of Scripture, Paul says, "That I may win Christ," in verse 8, right at the end. "That I may win Christ." All right, and then he says in verse 10, "That I may know him." And then he says, "That I may apprehend," in verse 12, "that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." So Paul's objectives were very simple. He wanted to win Christ. He wanted to know Christ, and he wanted to apprehend Christ. Now, those are not simple to accomplish, but those are simple to state: to win Christ, to know Christ, and to apprehend Christ. Now, before we go any further, I'm thankful to Pastor John Robinson of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Hillsboro, Oregon, who preached this text at a recent pastor's conference, because it's from his sermon that we got the idea for this sermon that we're going to preach. In other words, we won't preach it the same way, but that he was the one that pointed out those three things that were Paul's objectives. And the truth of the matter is, Paul's objectives should be our objectives. We should strive to win Christ. We should strive to know Christ. We should strive to apprehend Christ. Now, what are these things involved? What are we talking about here? Well, again, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, Paul said this: "What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." You see, there's more to being saved than just being saved from hell. So often in soul winning, when the soul winner is dealing with a lost soul, he'll say, "Well, you don't want to go to hell when you die, do you?" And I mean, obviously, people don't want to go to hell, at least as a general rule. And if they truly believe the claims of the gospel, if they believe the words of God, if they believe the true effect of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll receive Jesus Christ. But you understand the concept of being saved so you don't have to go to hell suddenly then becomes something that is limited by the lifespan that you're living here. In other words, to say you need to get saved so you don't go to hell when you die says, all right, I have received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm not going to go to hell when I die. But what about all that time between now and the time that I die? What provision is there in salvation for all of that? In some soul winning, the concept of receiving Jesus Christ for your life now is often not discussed, because hell is a very threatening thing, and so there's a certain amount of fear involved in a method of soul winning that simply says you need to get saved so you don't have to go to hell when you die. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm thankful that I'm going to heaven when I die and that I'm not going to hell. But may I tell you something? Our relationship with Christ doesn't begin the moment we die. Our relationship with Christ began the moment we received Him, and there is much to gain that from that relationship. That's what Paul is telling us here. But the problem is that in order to gain all there is in Christ Jesus, we must lose some things. You see, winning Christ comes at a price. It comes at a loss. Paul lost all that was dear to him in order to win Christ. What did he lose? He's going through and he's telling you the reason he could have had confidence in his flesh. Because in verse 4 of Philippians chapter 3, he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now, there's not many of us that could say that. And yet Paul said, in spite of all those claims that I have to righteousness, in spite of all those good things that are in my past, he said, what things were gain to me? You know, winning Christ is gaining Christ. It's gaining by the, it's like competing with somebody else and then winning the competition. Gaining Christ required him to lose those things that were gain. What things were gain to me? Those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And when Paul said all things, he meant all things. When Paul died, like Christ, he didn't have any possessions. You see, the concept here, what you're hearing Paul say is this: the more we lose of ourselves, the more we gain of Christ. Mark 8:35 says, whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. And the reason more people don't win Christ is that they're not willing to lose those things that keep them back from their gain in Christ. You know, we want a nice car. We want a nice home. We want nice clothes. We want to be able to eat at a nice restaurant or whatever the case may be. We want to maintain our reputation. We want to maintain our wealth. We want to maintain our life. We want to maintain our health. And sometimes we strive so much for good health, and we strive so much for security, and we strive so much to protect our reputation from ridicule, that we miss Christ and all there is to have in Him this side of eternity. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In other words, as Paul lost his standing as a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and he did when he went to Jerusalem the last time, he went to the temple to worship, and he took a vow, and he was right along with the other people. I mean, it was doing it exactly the way the law says. And they found him in that temple, and they were so mad at him, they wanted to kill him. He lost his standing as a Hebrew of the Hebrews because he'd been ministering the gospel to the Gentiles. And he lost his standing as a Pharisee. And he lost his standing among those that were of note among the Jews because he did not continue to persecute the church. And he even forsook his own righteousness, which was in the law, for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. May I tell you something? Look at this very basic principle, and then we'll move to the next point. Let's just say that you are a very righteous person. In other words, you don't cuss and you don't drink and you don't smoke and you don't steal and you don't commit adultery even in your heart and mind, and you don't hate anybody, and you're good to your neighbor and you love God, but you're not saved. Let's say you're like Cornelius. You're just and devout and give to the poor, and you have a good report among men. You're just salt of the earth. And somebody comes to you and says, you know, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior because you're not good enough to go to heaven. And you look at that person with disdain. How dare you? I've worked very hard in my life. I'm a member in good standing of my church. I've been baptized. I teach Sunday school. I've been a deacon. How dare you tell me that I have to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior? I'm good enough to go to heaven the way I am now. You know what you would have to do? You would have to suffer the loss of all of that righteousness in order to take up Christ and win Him and gain Christ and forsake your own righteousness. And I'll tell you what, in talking to other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, there are many who are citizens of good standing. They are recognized pillars in their church community, even though if they don't go to church all the time. They are recognized pillars in their community. They have given much to their community, and they have stature and status. And for them to come back later and say, you know what, I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and associate themselves with those that others call Jesus freaks, they couldn't stand it. I remember years ago trying to lead a friend of mine to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was ready to get saved and wanted to get saved. And before he prayed to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, he stopped, he hesitated, he looked at me, and here's what he said. I can't do this. And I said, why not? He said, because I don't want the men at the coffee shop to say the same things about me that they've been saying about you since you came to Christ. You know what he was facing? He was facing a loss of reputation. You know, and he has to this day not won Christ because of that very thing. He wants to be recognized by those other men as not like you and me. Whew, that's a tough thing. And Paul said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, if I had to die to all those things in order to have Christ, it was worth it. And I'm telling you, it's worth it to lose your reputation and standing among others, if that's what it takes for you to come to Christ. And you know what? When people are faced with having to turn from their own righteousness to take Jesus Christ, they know that this is the cost. They know that Christ comes at a price. And many times they are not willing. They don't listen. If they're in the religion of Islam or the religion of Catholicism or religion of Judaism, and they have to turn to Christ, which means they turn their back on that religious righteousness, that is a stiff price, and a lot of people don't want to pay it. But listen, Christ lost his reputation and everything that he had. He gave up every possession he had in order to win you. Why couldn't you give up your religion or your reputation to win Christ? He paid the ultimate price. He's not asking you to pay that price, something less. But Paul would say to you, winning Christ is worth more than what you have right now. And if it comes at that price, it's a price worth paying. Amen. Amen. Not only should we, and then after you get saved, to continue to lose those things that you may have more of Christ even than you have when you get saved. If you understand what I mean, you get all of Christ when you get saved, but you don't get to experience all of what he has because there are things that you want to hang on to that are holding you back. All right, and then we should strive, the second thing, to know Christ. Philippians 3, 9 and 10, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul said that I may know him. You know, there's so much more to know of Jesus Christ than we know right now. When you get saved, all you know is that he's your Savior. He's God, manifest in the flesh, that he died for you and loved you. You know that. But oh, there's so much more. The unsearchable riches of Christ. There's so much more to know of him than you know the day you get saved. And there's so much more to know of Jesus Christ than you know about him right now. But listen, to know Christ this personally comes at a price. It comes with suffering. That's what Paul said. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Watch it. And the fellowship of his sufferings. I understand you can't just go out and make yourself suffer. You say, oh, if I really want to know Christ, I have to go suffer. You don't become a monk, you know, an aesthetic, and try to know Christ that way. This suffering that he's talking about here is the type of suffering that Jesus Christ endured for the sake of others. You just don't go out and make yourself suffering. But listen, you can be willing to suffer. And you can keep yourself from avoiding suffering. Many of us understand the avoidance of suffering. We do everything we can to keep ourselves from experiencing pain. But Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. And when you read about David, you know something? He suffered. He suffered a great deal at the hands of his enemies. And his worst enemy was Saul. And they were of the same tribe. They were countrymen. David was the heir to his throne, but David served him like a son and like a servant. And yet Saul despised David. And one of the things he despised is that the Spirit of God was on David and had left Saul. Oh, I'll tell you what, man, this world, it does not like Christians. Jesus suffered a great deal for us. And you know what Paul did? Paul suffered a great deal for Jesus Christ. Paul knew what Jesus Christ had suffered for us. And he was willing to suffer in like manner for those to whom he ministered. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Yes, he did. And Paul said, you know what Paul said to us? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. In other words, Paul said, I see what Christ suffered for me, and I'm willing to suffer for Christ for the sake of others to whom I minister. And you know what? We won't suffer one inconvenience for the sake of a neighbor or a lost family member. Isn't that an amazing thing? You say, well, yeah, but I would have to give up my favorite TV show. I would have to give up some of my precious dear little time in order to be able to do this for others. Listen, Jesus Christ suffered so much. The agony that he underwent in a garden of Gethsemane was so intense that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Would you not be willing to pray to some degree like Jesus did for the sake of others that they might be saved? Would you not be willing to inconvenience yourself to some degree that others might come to know Christ? Now, you say, yeah, but this is about knowing Christ. It is. The truth is that once you enter into the fellowship of his sufferings, you begin to understand him. You begin to know his heart. You begin to know his mind. You begin to know his motives. You begin to know his love. You begin to know his understanding of mankind and human nature. You begin to know things you never knew. Why? Because he reveals himself to you. People, for instance, for as a general rule, really admire soldiers and what soldiers suffer for the sake of our liberties. And we celebrate, we really do, at least a couple of times a year, we celebrate veterans and what they've done. We commemorate their sacrifice. It's a tremendous thing. But may I tell you something? There's nobody who has not fought that understands the sacrifice of a soldier. The only ones who really understand are the ones who have fought with them, that have suffered with them. They understand to a greater degree the sacrifice than anybody else. In other words, they know the cost of liberty. Do you understand? In other words, we appreciate it. We read about it. We admire it. We commemorate their sacrifice, but we don't know it. But others who enter into the suffering with them, they know it. They understand it. And the same is true of Jesus Christ. When you enter into his sufferings, when you have fellowship with his sufferings for the sake of others and for the sake of the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ gave, then you know Christ in a way more personally than others who have never suffered for him. What have you suffered for Christ? Do you understand his heart and mind, his love? Do you sacrifice? You know, the funny thing is, when people know Christ in that capacity, it is nothing to ask of them to give. Nothing. The wallet is the easiest thing to open. The purse, the Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'll tell you what, when your heart is with Christ, that giving for the sake of missions, giving for the sake of the salvation of souls, nothing. It's easy. Because Christ gave so much more. Paul's objectives were to win Christ, to know Christ, and then this, to apprehend Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, if it by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained. In other words, Paul wasn't resurrected when he wrote this. Either were already perfect. He didn't have the glorified body yet. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul said, I'm going to get all of that I can get right now. He had said in verse 10 that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. You see, to apprehend Christ is to seize him. Well, he's up there at the right hand of the throne of God. It is to take hold of him. Jesus Christ is resurrected. In order to seize him, in order to take hold of him, then you too have to have his resurrection. And in a way we do, because of what Romans chapter 6 says, we walk in the newness of life. The power of our spiritual life comes from his resurrection. Apprehending Christ comes at a price, though, just like these other things. You know what it comes with? It comes with death. That's right. Paul said in verse 10, being made conformable unto his death. Yow. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Ow. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, I die daily. You know, I've preached that. I've talked about it. I've even imagined myself dying and being crucified with Christ. You know, I'm not sure that we have the remotest idea what dying daily involves. I mean, we know it involves dead reckoning. Now, Paul, and I really encourage you to read Romans chapter 6 thoroughly, but Paul said in verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm not sure if we really understand what that means. I believe that most of us are plenty alive. I believe most of us are just pretending to be dead. We're playing possum. Have you ever seen a possum play possum? We used to walk with our lab at night, and Oftentimes, possums were out. We were close to a golf course, and possums would root around in the flower beds and whatnot. You'd see him out from time to time, and when our lab would see him, we'd release his leash, and off he'd go. Grab that possum, and the possum would just collapse in his mouth and lay there. Of course, the dog would leave him alone. He'd think, oh, I did it. I broke his back or whatever. Nothing like that happened. And we'd say, come on, and our lab would come on, and we'd walk a little bit, turn around, look, and there that possum goes. And that's how we play Christianity. We play possum. We pretend to be dead. We convince ourselves that we're dead. And you know what? That's why we have no more spiritual power than we have. Romans chapter 6 says, doctrinally, we were dead when we received Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we must die. But oh my, we have our own ambitions. And we have our pride, and we have our own agendas, and we have our own likes and our own dislikes, and we have our own thoughts, and we have our own ways. And we want God to bless us in our ambitions and in our pride and in our thoughts and in our ways. And he says, you know what? Forget all that nonsense. Die to that. I got some ideas. I got some thoughts. I got some ways. I've got some motives. You get into the ministry, you say, I want a big church. God says, you know what? I want you to be more like Jeremiah, who could only really claim an association with Barak and Ebed-Melech. And you're like, well, that won't work for me. How do you know it won't work for you? If you could apprehend Christ, if you could have the power of his resurrection in so doing, wouldn't that be worth more? You say it's tough. I know it's tough. It is tough, but let me tell you something. To win Christ, we must lose those things that are gained to us. To know Christ, we must enter into his sufferings. To apprehend Christ, we must die to ourselves and take hold of his resurrected life. God help us to strive to do these things. Listen, I believe this. If we set our objectives on these things in Christ, then the Lord will instruct us in how to win him, how to know him, and how to apprehend him, even if it may seem like a foreign concept to us now. I believe, like Paul, that he will allow us to accomplish these things in our lives, and God help us when we do. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.